You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I just wanted to apologize. We had a bit of technical delays here for the beginning of the show, but I'm so happy to be here, and by golly, is there so much to talk about. Number one, I just want to go ahead, and we're going to post a link here on Radio Arian that we have the official sign-up for the Pikeville event. We are less than a month away. Sign-up is now open, and it is first come, first serve. We do have a limit on attendance. Simply because of accommodations, because we're going to be providing food, and of course, all the things that go with an exciting conference. So if you want to guarantee yourself a spot, go ahead and register today. We're going to include the link. It's on tradworker.org. Click the Pikeville tab and go ahead and sign up. We have a lot of speakers. And also at the event, we're going to be unveiling a new booklet on National Socialist philosophy. We've got contributors from America, from Australia, from Greece, from Germany, and from several different other organizations here in the United States than the Traditionalist Worker Party, to be able to discuss National Socialism in the 21st century, what it means, and really give a primer to the philosophy so we can be able to explain the ideology to our people. They don't have to go through the Jewish media. We can give it straight to them. So that's going to be first seen at the conference. Lots of exciting speakers from the Traditionalist Worker Party, National Socialist Movement, League of the South, and others. So very, very, very exciting. We're hoping to see a lot of folks there. So go ahead and sign up today. But I'm joined today with my good friend, my co-host, Sven Longshanks. And we've got a lot to talk about in regards to the Middle East. So Sven, how are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. I'm pretty good. It's a beautiful day over here. It's a sunny, shining day. I'm quite happy. It seems lots of people are still very upset at Donald Trump firing missiles at Syria. But I think I've got a different opinion of it to other people. I think Bashar al-Assad, I think he's been extremely stupid bombing a weapons dump. I think he betrayed Donald Trump's trust. He was left alone to deal with the terrorists, and instead of sending in ground troops to secure a known weapons dump that they had suspicions were sending chemical weapons to Iraq, he dropped bombs on it, which of course killed lots of civilians. It looked really bad, and I think Donald Trump has looked at that and thought, I can't get through any of my ideas to get the wall up, the Muslim ban, to cut back on immigration. He's having lots of problems with that, so he needs to get the establishment on side in America so that he can get his bills passed. And this is one way that he could get the establishment on side is to go firing weapons at Syria, and also just to say to Assad, look, you failed. You ended up killing lots of civilians by accident or not. I mean, you don't go dropping weapons on a chemical weapons dump. It's a really reckless thing to do. And what I've been thinking about is the fact that immigration is down by 67%. Illegal immigration is down by 67% in America. Now, I'm concerned about the white people in America. The Syrians come second place to me. It's the white race that matters to me. And the fact that he has slowed down immigration already, and if he can get the establishment on side, he can slow down immigration all the more. So I am not as black-pilled about this as everybody else that I'm seeing, who is throwing their hands up in the air. Oh, this is terrible. He's betrayed everyone. I think you've got to take a step back and think, who is it that matters the most? And to me, it's the white race that matters the most, not the Syrians. So if he gets the establishment behind him on this and he gets his Muslim ban passed, which probably there'd be more chance of doing that if they've got bad feeling between Muslims and America because of this, then he probably stands a better chance of getting that passed. I know this is not a popular view to have, but I don't think this is as black and white as everybody is making out. Now, I know you have a lot of sympathies with Syria, so you've probably got a very different view to me, Matt.
Well, one could say that. Yes, I have a completely different opinion, actually. And that's one of the things I love about having a show. We can go ahead and we can discuss all this great stuff. But yes, I am going the exact opposite direction. My official position is that Donald Trump has, with the removal of Steve Bannon, we see what it led to, the creation of this, Jewish system where Kushner is now back in his, back in a very cushy position, for lack of a better term, going ahead and basically dominating, it looks like, the policies of the Trump administration. We have lost Bannon, and instead now we are dealing with a Jewish run system. So, it's all off the Trump train, boys and girls. He has, violated one of the three key planks of his, of his platform that he ran on. He was going to, work against free trade. He was going to, slow down immigration and build the wall and, keep us out of Syria. And, so right there, out of his three big campaign promises, he has now broken one of them. So his presidency is going to get a D pretty much regardless. He's getting a 66% right now. Absolutely abysmal that he's done this. He has fallen for every Jewish trick. This is Iraq and Libya, I guess 3.0 now. We've seen this before. It's a common Jewish trick. I don't believe anything that's coming out from the white helmets or from the so-called American media. It's all warmongering. It's all Jewish. As Assad said, the war against Syria is Israel and her allies. This is the Zionist takeover essentially of America. And, I'm off the Trump train. I never thought he was one of us. I never thought that he was going to really advocate for white nationalist positions. He was going to open up political space for us that he has. So thank him for that. We have been able to awaken a lot of people. Our movement is growing, but we must cut ourselves off, I think, from the Trump administration at this point. Not that we were ever in with them, but their positions when it comes to warmongering in Syria, gearing us up towards a conflict with Russia, because if it's Tomahawk missiles today, it can be an F-22 tomorrow. And if that justifiably gets shot down by Syrian or Russian forces, then we're in a third world war. This isn't a game. And we also see the Trump administration saber rattling at North Korea. And the DPRK, of course, as a nationalist state, should be our ally. And, especially versus compared to South Korea, the bourgeois capitalist society that's destroyed their organic culture, doesn't have a militarist bone in its body. North Korea is by far a superior nationalist ally in their alignment against the New World Order. And Trump's doing everything wrong. He's absolutely doing everything wrong, which means he is listening to what Kushner has to say. That's what happens when you let Jews near your family. Steve Bannon is really one of the ones that got Trump to the White House, and now he's been betrayed. And this is absolutely one of the biggest blunders he could have made, but this is okay because we were never Trumpers. We liked what Trump was doing. He was, getting a beachhead politically, but it's up for us to take the beach. We knew Trump, that this was going to happen eventually, and now it has happened. So, I really think we haven't lost anything. That's not a defeat for us in any capacity. It's just now time to transform ourselves, into the second phase of the operation, which is being, increasingly the viable nationalist alternative to Trump civic nationalism and Zionist foreign policy. So this is just a new opportunity for us to bring our message to say, if you like Trump that you elected and don't like what he's doing, well, take a look at our policies and be able to see that, we are working for the people, we're fighting for the people, come to our side and we'll be able to rally together and build a better and stronger nationalist force. So this is an exciting time. There's a lot of work to be done. My prayers are with Syria and, of course, the Russian Federation and all of Syria's allies, that this doesn't break into a full-blown conflict. But Donald Trump has shown some colors that forced me to remove any form of support. I don't really care what he does from this point forward. If he is aligning himself in terms of foreign policy against nationalist states that just last week he said we were going to be friends with, we were going to work with the Russians, we were going to work with the Syrians, we were going to defeat ISIS. That is what he campaigned on. If he can't be trusted on these things, very basic things, he was friends with Russia a week ago. He was friends with Syria a week ago. And now he's totally changed his position on what he has to know after having the security and intelligence agencies working so intensely against him. He cannot trust what they are telling him. And he's absolutely flip-flopping, showing no backbone, no spine. And it's just a sad day. But you know what? This just means more work for us and more opportunities to polarize the American electorate.
Well, I think I agree with you. It's disappointing that this is the way that he reacted, but I don't see he had any other choice, to be honest. It's Bashar al-Assad I'm more disappointed in. I mean, who goes dropping bombs on a chemical weapons depot surrounded by civilians? He knew that they were civilian human shields there. He knew that there were chemical weapons there. I mean, straight away, they said it was a weapons dump. The Iraqi government have confirmed that chemical weapons were being sent from Idlib to Mosul. So his excuse is, oh, well, we dropped the bombs on there, and it was the rebels' chemical weapons. Well, why drop bombs on chemical weapons when you know that they've got civilians there? You know that all the cameras are there. You know that the fake news is then going to go and say that Assad did it and show all these dead babies to the world. Absolutely stupid behaviour of Bashar al-Assad. That really, I think it pushes Trump into a corner. What are you going to do, Trump? All these dead babies. Assad is the one that did it. It was his air force that did it. You know, it's you're caught between a rock and a hard place, I think. All I'm concerned about is what Donald Trump does for white people. I'm really not that fussed about brown people. It's white people that I'm concerned with. And I think this is already being pushed out of the way in the news because we've just had a Muslim grab hold of a truck and he's just driven right the way through Stockholm's, killed four or five people. There's reports of severed body parts in the streets. Quite a vicious attack. Apparently, this truck was stolen. It was it was doing beer deliveries and it got hijacked. And this is already taking over the news now. And this North Korea saber rattling, that's all been forgotten as well. So long as he doesn't take this further and doesn't start a war in Syria, so long as this is just a reprimand for Bashar al-Assad being so recklessly stupid and betraying his trust like that, I think people are making far too much of this, far too much of it. But time will tell, I think, Matt. I think we're going to have to give it a couple of weeks and see what happens, because things are moving so fast right now. As I say, it's already being turned over to this Swedish aggression. And I do think, I know we do have our sympathies with these other nationalist states. My sympathies are with Syria. They are with North Korea. But my main sympathies are with the white race. And I think we shouldn't get too caught up in what's happening in other parts of the world. I know we don't want America to go to war. We don't want America to go for these Jewish wars. But the central point, I think, has to be stopping white genocide. And as I say, illegal immigration is down by 67% through Trump's administration. And if he can now get the establishment on board and push through his other policies, then I'm prepared to overlook a few mistakes like this. Maybe I'm playing the devil's advocate here, and maybe you'll have a completely opposite view. But that's my position.
Well, the thing is, the struggle cannot be. We can't view it as just whites, because this is Jews everywhere. Jews are Jewing absolutely everywhere. And I really think, you know, one of the big problems that we can get ourselves caught into is, there is that old poem from, the NS days. First they came for the socialists, but I said nothing, because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the Marxists. I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Marxist, and so on and so forth. But, I think the dangerous principle is that, not every country that falls to the Jewish power is another country that's used against us. It expands their power reach and it hurts our ability to be able to mount a worldwide offensive against the Jewish capitalist oligarchs. And Syria is geopolitically important. It's strategically important. And it's important on principle that the West has spent 6 years trying to destabilize Syria and they've held out this long. And, Bashar al-Assad is a Ba'athist. They're Arab National Socialists. And I think we need to be able to stand with them fully. So, we're looking into trying to organize a protest in front of the White House against Trump, against this war. Because if this escalates, this is going to be a very, very bad thing. It sets a horrendous principle. It allows the expansion of ISIS. We need to be standing with Syria and Russia, not with an American government that's betrayed the American people.
Well, this is why I'm so disappointed in Bashar al-Assad, Matt. I supported Syria all the way through this, and this is the first time I've seen him make a really, really stupid move. Would you go bombing a chemical weapons storehouse that's surrounded by civilians? I mean, that really is a stupid thing to do. And whether the gas was in the missiles that were dropped or the gas was in the storehouse is irrelevant, completely irrelevant. Because if his air force hadn't dropped bombs on the place, there wouldn't have been the gas leak. That's what I think it was. I think it was a gas leak. And he knew, he must have known that those weapons were there. Because that's why they were dropping bombs on it. The Iraqi government have confirmed that. Now, I think this was a really bad move by Bashar al-Assad. He's done so well for the last 6 years. He's managed to stay in power. He's had my support right the way up until now. But to go and do something like that, whoever was in charge in the army, responsible for that operation, should really be, they should be held to account for this. Because it's no good just saying, well, the rebels had gas. Okay, you knew the rebels had gas. Why did you drop a bomb on them then? When they were surrounded by civilians. It just seems that his behavior is as bad as Donald Trump's response to it, I think.
Well, I mean, the issue is, you know, did they know, did they not know? I mean, who knows and who cares? That they, you know, attacking ISIS-affiliated military targets is viable. You're attacking military targets. I mean, that is just the way it is. And the blood is on the hands of the rebels that put those there to try and use civilian shields. If that's exactly what happened, then still the blood is on their hands. I mean, what, do we not fight a war when you're fighting against radical Islamic extremism? When you're fighting against these Jewish-backed lackeys, you're just supposed to never hit a target that's a viable military target, that if that gas and stuff like that, if it's going to Mosul, could end up killing possibly tens or hundreds of thousands of people if deployed on the battlefield, you know, especially against civilians. This is the sort of thing that you're trying to stop, a cataclysmic, you know, Armageddon-style death throes of the Islamic State, that they have to be prevented from getting these things. And it's a bad situation, but war is bad. You know, bad stuff happens. People die. People suffer. It's horrific. We need to avoid it whenever possible. But, you know, I think Assad, his forces were striking a legitimate military target. If you give the terrorists the ability to know that they can get away with storing things in certain places, that's where they're going to store them. And it's going to end with a lot more people dead if they're able to deploy them according to their own principles. You know, this is the sort of thing that we need to understand. This is war. And I don't see him doing anything wrong. We don't apologize, you know, in countries when we, even when we accidentally, kill an entire wedding party or stuff like that. American drone strikes against Pakistan and other nations have been absolutely horrific, keeping people, constantly looking to the skies for the next civilian target. We end up bombing by accident. You know, the United States has no moral authority to try and stand on this idea of human rights. You know, we just kill civilians indiscriminately using depleted uranium rounds in Iraq and Afghanistan. Go back to Vietnam with Agent Orange, the absolutely horrific multi-generational suffering the American Empire brings forward on innocent people has absolutely, you know, we have absolutely dwarfed anything. If Bashar al-Assad gassed half of his own people, it wouldn't be able to come to the war crimes that the American Empire has committed in the last half century. And of course, we know Assad isn't doing that. So, I mean, I think the blood is entirely on the hands of the enemy here. And, we need to back Assad. We need to back Assad. Trump is betraying his campaign promise. His campaign promise was Russia's sphere of influence. We're not going to get involved. And the idea that we might end up sending boots on the ground to die, getting a farm boy from Ohio or Iowa to go and bleed and die in the desert in the defense of ISIS and Israeli geopolitical interests for the second time, well, I guess technically the third time in the last decade or so, that is a horrific reality that I refuse to believe in is the only path forward. We need to stand against this. We need to mobilize our forces, and we need to do everything we can to stop this conflict, to hold Trump accountable, and not follow his lead. This he is betraying his key campaign promises right now.
I just think Assad's strategy should have been different. He should have sent ground troops in there to secure the place so that there wasn't the chance of there being this huge propaganda gift to Syria's enemies. Because, I mean, that was a huge propaganda gift. The Syrian Air Force flies overhead, and then there's a huge gas cloud, and then there's lots of babies being gassed to death. I mean, being gassed is a really barbaric way to die. Imagine being starved of air. It's quite horrific. I can imagine Trump watching that, and you know what he's like with babies and children, and, you know, it's tugging at his emotions. And surely he's going to be thinking, well, surely there could have been a better way of doing this. Surely they could have sent ground troops in, secured the place. They didn't have to blow the whole place up. It's like setting fire to a fireworks factory and then saying, well, it's not my fireworks, so it's not my fault. Well, you dropped the fire in there that set them all off. And the Syrian Air Force dropped the bombs in there that set this gas off. That's the way I see it. Which is so, and if that is what happened, then Trump isn't going to be that bothered whether he says that the gas was in the missiles that the Syrian army dropped, or whether the gas was there in the factory. Either way, it's still the same result. Lots of dead people, lots of bad publicity. Trump looks really bad for having his hands-off policy with Syria, because he said, "I'm going to have the hands-off policy with Syria. We're not going to go in there. It's up to Assad what he does." And within 2 months of that, what have we got? Well, we've got a gas atrocity, a gas leak, what have you, which has been caused by the Air Force. And the Syrian excuses for it is, well, it was a weapons dump and the rebels had chemical weapons there. Well, okay, you knew they had chemical weapons there then, so why didn't you send ground troops in? Why didn't you secure the area, bring the United Nations in to show the world all these chemical weapons that the rebels have got? Why did you take the lazy route and blow the place up, kill lots of civilians, and give all the neocons and all the warmongers all the excuses they needed to push Trump into attacking the place? And Trump shouldn't have done it, but it just seems to me that both of those leaders, Bashar al-Assad and Donald Trump, have just been behaved far, far below what I would have expected of them. And when you're talking about Steve Bannon there and Kushner, apparently he's been calling Kushner a cuck and calling him a globalist and all of this. So Steve Bannon seems to have gone up in my approval ratings. And apparently all that's happened is that he's been removed from the National Security Council. That's all. I believe he's still chief of staff. He's still Donald Trump's right-hand man. It's just that he's been removed from the Security Council. And I did wonder why he was on the Security Council anyway, because he's a propagandist rather than a military man. So I don't think we should be too black-pilled over this. As I say, I think we should give it a couple of weeks and see what happens. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Trump will go all in there gung-ho and there'll be more attacks. But I hope that there isn't. I hope this is just a Trump's way of reprimanding Assad for taking advantage of the hands-off policy, really. I mean, that's what I hope for. But we'll have to wait and see, I think, Matt. Anyway, I think it's been good to have this debate anyway. I've enjoyed it.
I love discussions. You know, my pronouncement, though, is no more baby boomer wars. Please, no more baby boomer wars. If you're conservative Mark Levin listening, grandpa thinks it's a good idea, do the opposite of that. And that's, Trump has got us into a quagmire. You know, we got to pray for peace, work for peace, and continue to support nationalist revolution. So, comrades, it's been so great to be back. Again, schedule's going to be back to normal before too long. So happy to be here, and I hope you have a great weekend. So thank you, Sven, for joining me. Have a great day, guys, and hail victory.
Be tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.